Section 2, State Affairs in the 1970s. As you read, look for Oklahoma's Economy in the 1970s, Educational Reforms, Noteworthy Oklahomans, and Vocabulary Terms, Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, Embargo, Deregulation, and Price Parity. A Democrat again won the governor's election in 1970, but only by 2,190 votes. The winner, Tulsa attorney David Hall, immediately abolished the controversial Office of Interagency Coordination. State income was not keeping up with inflation, but Governor Hall didn't want Oklahoma to stop growing. He placed top priority on improving education, including a reduced teacher-pupil ratio, kindergarten for each child, special education, and improved guidance counseling. The baby boom generation created a peak ADA, average daily attendance, of 566,857 Oklahoma students in 1971. To address state needs, legislators increased several taxes, and education received much of the new money. An investigation of wrongdoing resulted in Hall being indicted by a federal grand jury 3 days after leaving office in January 1975. He was convicted in March 1975 on charges of extortion, conspiracy, and violating anti-racketeering laws. Hall was the first Oklahoma governor convicted of crimes committed while in office, and he served 19 months in a federal penitentiary. David L. Boren, age 33, succeeded Hall as governor in 1975. Boren also staunchly supported education. He initiated the Oklahoma Scholar Leadership Program, the Oklahoma Summer Arts Institute, and state funding for gifted and talented programs. The Physician Manpower Training Commission was established in 1975 to enhance medical care in rural and underserved areas by providing funding assistance for medical training. An Oklahoma Open Meetings Act was first enacted in 1959, but a new law was written in 1977 during Boren's term. The Open Meetings Act and Open Records Act help keep public meetings and records available to everyone and prevent abuse of power by elected and appointed officials. Oil. After World War II, the demand for petroleum in America grew rapidly, and it soon outpaced production. In 1948, the United States began to import more oil than it exported. For years, the price and production of oil around the world was generally controlled by a group of American and European-owned companies known as the Seven Sisters. These companies were Standard Oil of New Jersey, today's Exxon, Royal Dutch Shell, British Petroleum, Standard Oil of New York, now Mobil, Texaco, Standard Oil of California, now Chevron, and Gulf Oil. The companies paid the countries where they produced petroleum a royalty or percentage of the profits. In 1951, a revolution in Iran resulted in the Iranian government taking control of the oil industry in that country. The Shah of Iran contracted with companies to drill and operate the wells. Other oil-rich nations soon followed Iran's example. In 1960, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, was organized by Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela. OPEC grew in international prominence in the 1960s and 1970s, and it became a major voice in oil production and pricing in world markets. In the late 1960s, environmentalists began to oppose drilling in certain areas because they believed it might harm wildlife and the environment. That debate continues today. Partly as a result of the environmentalist efforts, the U.S. government imposed stricter controls and regulations on drilling. The added controls and regulations, coupled with price regulations, kept many producers from looking for oil in the United States. American oil companies began buying foreign oil because it cost less. The oil embargo. War broke out in the Middle East in 1973 between Egypt, Syria, and Israel. The United States and much of Western Europe supported Israel. Arab members of OPEC placed an embargo on oil, that is, they refused to ship oil to the nations that supported Israel. At the same time, OPEC quadrupled oil prices. The national average price of gasoline at the filling station rose from 38.5 cents a gallon to over 55 cents. By the end of the summer of 1974, the United States experienced its first fuel shortage since World War II. Gasoline was often rationed to customers, and long lines and short tempers often formed at gas stations. The embargo was lifted in March 1974, but the effects of the energy crisis lasted throughout the decade. Congress reduced the speed limit nationwide to 55 miles an hour to help reduce gasoline consumption. Daylight saving time was initiated year-round, and everyone was asked to conserve energy. Automakers started making smaller, more fuel-efficient vehicles. Alternative and renewable sources of energy were studied as the United States began efforts to become energy self-sufficient. Oklahoma wells. Natural gas was first produced in Oklahoma in the early 1900s, but it was not until the 1940s that its value increased. Oil was the prize most drillers searched for, and gas was an unintended consequence of oil exploration. It's estimated that 500 billion cubic feet of natural gas was vented or burned off by oil producers. Production of gas in Oklahoma doubled in the 1960s and 1970s and was aided further by deregulation, the removal of government rules and regulations. With many government rules and regulations removed and a high demand, another drilling boom took place in Oklahoma. Natural gas was abundant in the Anadarko Basin of western Oklahoma, but deep wells were needed to recover it. The Bertha Rogers No. 1 in Washita County was the world's deepest well when it was drilled to 31,441 feet in 1974. In 1979, a well near Sayre became the state's deepest gas producer at 24,996 feet. The oil boom revitalized many towns and cities in the state. Woodward's 1960 population of 7,747 almost doubled by 1980 to 13,610. New schools, post offices, hospitals, and businesses were built. Other minerals. Zinc and lead mines, which at one time produced one half of the world's zinc supply, closed in 1970. Concerns about groundwater contamination and the collapse of deserted zinc and lead mines continue in the far northeastern part of Oklahoma in the Tar Creek Superfund cleanup site. A copper deposit in Jackson County was mined from 1965 to 1975. Ore from the Jackson County mine was processed at a nearby mill, and the copper was then shipped by rail to a smelter in El Paso, Texas. In 1971, the Oklahoma legislature passed the Mining Lands Reclamation Act. In 1977, Congress passed the National Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act. Both pieces of legislation were intended to protect society and the environment from problems resulting from abandoned mines. Agriculture. Better equipment, fertilizers, and pesticides made it possible for fewer farmers to produce an abundance of agricultural products in the 1960s and 1970s. Cattle and wheat were the top products in Oklahoma, but cotton, hay, peanuts, milk, eggs, and hogs were also important products. The wheat crops were so large some years that trucks lined the streets of many rural communities, waiting to unload the wheat at the grain elevator during the earliest summer wheat harvest. The abundance of wheat created surpluses that caused the market prices to drop. The frustration of farmers came to a head in 1979 when the federal government imposed a grain embargo against the Soviet Union following that country's invasion of Afghanistan. Farmers felt they were singled out to take the brunt of the impact of the embargo. Many farmers joined the American agriculture movement to create a more unified voice. Farmers wanted price parity, which is the point where prices received for farm products keep pace with the cost of other products and services to ensure a constant standard of living. Farmers from many states joined a tractorcade, a procession of tractors, and drove their farm implements across the country to Washington. Several Oklahoma farmers joined the tractorcade or donated money for lodging, food, and fuel for the participants. Several hundred farmers and tractors were in Washington for several weeks while they met with legislators. Educational reforms. The launching of the Sputnik satellite caused Americans to take a long look at their educational programs, especially those in science and technology. In 1963, Congress passed the National Education Improvement Act, which expanded the federal role in technology education. In 1964, Tulsa opened the state's first area vocational technical VOTEC school with an enrollment of 321. Oklahoma received funds initially for five area VOTEC schools, which provided programs for high school students and adults. In addition to Tulsa, schools were opened in Oklahoma City, Ardmore, Duncan, and Enid. Other cities soon joined the growing list of cities with vocational technical schools. Today, the state's 29 schools have 57 campuses that cover most of the state. In 1971, skills centers for juvenile offenders and inmates were begun, and today there are 16 such facilities. Before the establishment of the area VOTEC schools, vocational education within local schools included agriculture, home economics, industrial arts, and business education. Today, the VOTEC schools, renamed Technology Centers in 1999, offer a wide variety of programs and add new ones to meet the needs of businesses and the public. For example, the Moore Norman Technology Center hosts the Red Carpet Film Festival for student-produced short films. A state-of-the-art pipeline and safety training center is offered at Drumright's Central Tech, located near the pipeline hub of Cushing. Oklahoma's nationally acclaimed technology centers are often cited by businesses as the reason they relocate to the state. A new type of education, public school district junior college, was developed in Oklahoma in the 1920s and 1930s. The first junior colleges essentially added a 13th or 14th year of study to high schools. By 1939, there were 16 two-year junior colleges and 4 one-year colleges throughout the state, with an enrollment of 1,600 students. A lack of students and funding caused most of the junior colleges to close by 1939. However, the re-examination of education in the late 1960s and early 1970s resulted in new junior college development. Tulsa Junior College, now Tulsa Community College, was established in 1968. Altus Junior College was converted to Western Oklahoma State College in 1969. In the early 1970s, two new facilities were opened, Oscar Rose Junior College, Rose State College, in Midwest City, and South Oklahoma City Junior College, Oklahoma City Community College. Junior colleges from the 1930s that survived and grew are at El Reno, Redlands Community College, Seminole, Seminole State College, and Warner, Connors State College. The decline of the mining industry resulted in changing the state's two schools of mines into junior colleges. The State School of Mines at Wilburton was changed to Eastern State College, and the College of Mines and Metallurgy at Miami became Northeastern Oklahoma A&M College. Sayre Junior College merged with Southwestern Oklahoma State University, Weatherford, in 1987. By 2011, there were 25 public institutions of higher education in Oklahoma with an enrollment of almost 200,000. Business. When suburbs began to develop, shopping patterns began changing from large downtown stores to suburban shops and stores. Developers of Tulsa's Utica Square worked for almost 10 years convincing financial backers that a shopping center could survive on the edge of a town. Opened in 1952, Utica Square was Tulsa's first shopping center as well as one of the first in the country. Penn Square opened in Oklahoma City in 1960 as the city's first multi-building shopping center. Oklahoma City's first enclosed shopping mall, Shepherd Mall, was built on the Shepherd family farm in 1964. Sam Walton was born in Kingfisher in 1918. In 1943, he married Helen Robson of Claremore, and they bought a Ben Franklin variety store in Arkansas in 1945. Over time, Walton bought 15 more variety stores. In 1962, he opened the first Walmart discount store in Arkansas. The 11th Walmart was opened in Claremore in 1969, and Walton went on to build an empire in the discount store business. A number of other businesses that started in the 1960s and 1970s have had a lasting impact on our state's economy. Tom Love opened a gas station in Watonga in 1964 and soon followed with filling stations in Minco and Sayre. The first Love's Country Store, a combination convenience store filling station, opened in Guymon in 1972. The company now operates 365 locations in 39 states. Bill and Mary Braum sold their successful ice cream business in Kansas in 1967. In 1968, they moved to Oklahoma and started a new chain of 24 stores called Braum's Ice Cream and Dairy Stores. The family dairy herd and processing plant in Emporia, Kansas, supplied Braum's until a new processing plant was built in Oklahoma in 1971. In 1975, the Braum dairy herd was moved to Tuttle, and the company added a bakery in 1978. The dairy business now includes 7 ranches and farms and almost 300 stores in 5 states. David Green opened the first Hobby Lobby arts and crafts store in 1972 in Oklahoma City, and the business now includes over 500 stores in 41 states. Great Oklahomans. 5 Oklahomans joined Gordon Cooper and Jerry Cobb at NASA in the 1960s and 1970s. Thomas Stafford of Weatherford was selected in the second group of NASA astronauts in 1962. Stafford piloted Gemini 6 in 1965 and commanded the 1966 Gemini 9 and Apollo 10 in May 1969. General Stafford was also Apollo commander of the Apollo-Soyuz test project in 1975, which resulted in the first meeting in space between American astronauts and Soviet Union cosmonauts. Owen Garriott of Enid joined NASA in 1965 as one of the first 6 scientist astronauts. Garriott conducted a number of experiments aboard the Skylab in 1973 and Space Lab 1 in 1983. 2 Oklahomans were in the 5th group of astronauts selected in 1966. William Pogue from Okemah, and Stuart Roosa of Claremore. Colonel Pogue served on astronaut support crews for 3 Apollo missions and piloted Skylab 4, the 84-day flight launched in November 1973. Colonel Roosa was command module pilot on Apollo 14 in 1971, which was the 3rd lunar landing mission, while fellow crewmen Alan Shepard and Edgar Mitchell landed and conducted experiments on the moon's surface, Roosa remained in lunar orbit. Dr. Shannon Lucid of Bethany, selected by NASA in 1978, became an astronaut in 1979. Lucid's missions have included Discovery in 1985, Atlantis in 1989 and 1991, Columbia in 1993, and Atlantis in 1996, in which she traveled to the Russian space station Mir. Lucid set several records for duration in space. Other Oklahomans selected as astronauts include John Harrington of Wetumpka, who became the first American Indian in space in 2002, and Neil Woodward, a Putnam City High School graduate who joined NASA in 1998. Lasting literary works were created by Oklahomans S. E. Hinton and N. Scott Momaday. Writing about the socks and greasers at her school in Tulsa, the 15-year-old Hinton created a novel for young adults, The Outsiders, that was first published in 1967 while she was a freshman at Tulsa University. Hinton went on to write several other young adult novels. 4 of her books were adapted into movies. At about the same time, N. Scott Momaday wrote Housemaid of Dawn, which was awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 1969. Momaday, born in Lawton in 1934 and of Kiowa, Cherokee, and English descent, lived with his family near Mountain View until his parents took teaching jobs on Indian reservations in Arizona and New Mexico. Momaday's award-winning novel tells the story of a young Indian who is torn between the two worlds he lives in. A later book by Momaday, The Way to Rainy Mountain, traces the physical and spiritual migration of the Kiowa Indians from Montana to their lands in Oklahoma. One of the most prolific songwriters of the era was Jimmy Webb, who was born in Elk City in 1946. Webb is the only person to receive Grammy Awards in all 3 categories, music, lyrics, and orchestration. His song, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, is the 3rd most performed song in the last 50 years, and Up, Up, and Away not far behind. Webb was joined in music circles by such other Oklahomans as Mason Williams, John Denver, Roger Miller, David Gates, Roy Clark, Leon Russell, and Jody Miller. Other Oklahomans were making their name in acting, including James Garner, Dennis Weaver, Dale Robertson, Donna Reed, Tony Randall, and Ron and Clint Howard. Paul Harvey, Kurt Gowdy, Walter Cronkite, Jim Hartz, Bill Moyers, and Frank McGee were making their mark in the journalism field. The national spotlight was turned on Oklahoma in 1967 when Jane J. Roe of Laverne was crowned Miss America. J. Roe was the 2nd Oklahoman to receive the honor after Norma Smallwood of Bristow in 1926. Athletes from the state were putting their names in the record books. Bobby Mercer, Daryl Porter, and Susie Maxwell Burning of Oklahoma City, Johnny Bench from Binger, Steve Owens of Miami, and the Selman Brothers and J.C. Watts of Eufaula. Barry Switzer of the University of Oklahoma and Jimmy Johnson of Oklahoma State University were legendary coaches. State of the State. Oklahoma's population in the 1960 census was 2,328,284. the upward trend continued in 1970 with a count of 2,559,229. By 1980, there was almost a 500,000 increase to 3,025,290. Oklahoma was starting the decade of the 1980s on a strong, optimistic note. The words from Rodgers and Hammerstein's song rang more true than ever. You're doing fine, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, okay. It's your turn. Number 1. What is OPEC? Number 2. Why was a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit imposed? Number 3. What is Utica Square? The following is a summary of Chapter 16. African Americans used such protest methods as sit-ins and nonviolent marches to gain equality. This struggle for equality led to the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The escalation of U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War led to many protests in Oklahoma and the rest of the United States against the war. Events of the 1960s led women to seek equal rights in the workplace and in society. American Indians made their voices heard through various protest movements in the 1960s, which eventually resulted in the passage of the Indian Civil Rights Act of 1968. The voting age was lowered from 21 to 18 when the 26th Amendment was passed and ratified in 1971. Under the administrations of Governors David Hall and David Boren, progress was made in education, the arts, and medical care. Stricter government price controls and regulations on drilling of oil were the result of efforts by environmentalists and a war in the Middle East. Production of natural gas in Oklahoma doubled in the 1960s and 1970s, particularly in the area of the Anadarko Basin. Cattle and wheat were the top agricultural products in Oklahoma in the 1960s and 1970s. Price controls and a grain embargo led many farmers to join the American agriculture movement to create a more unified voice when approaching the government for relief. Vocational technical education expanded in Oklahoma through state and federal funding. Junior colleges grew in importance in the field of higher education. During this era, shopping patterns began changing in larger cities as shopping centers appeared in suburban areas. Many Oklahomans made a name for themselves as astronauts, writers, musicians, journalists, and athletes.